Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Bet, the 9 lines up. The Gemara says, "My Rabbi Meir, my Rabbonon." What is this machloket, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbonon, that we've been referencing up to this point? Rabbi Yosef suggested that Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai and the Chachamim argue in the same machloket, but what was their machloket, or what is this common machlok between them? And that is the Tanya, Bava Breita. Ma'arvin b'chatzirot b'pat, you make an eruv chatzirot with bread. If you want to use something besides bread, for instance, wine, it does not work. Bread works, wine does not work. You can have shituf mivaot, you can do with wine. You can, if you please, use bread, but wine is sufficient. Tosafot over here asks, it sounds like from the Gemara that we actually prefer wine over pat. And he says, maybe it's because Shema b'yayin min kartvei, shu shituf. That looks like there's some sort of partnership here because they're doing it in the chatzer. And therefore the wine looks more like a shituf than bread. In the houses, maybe bread is a better thing, but in the chatzer, wine is better. So over here you have, Erev chatzerot must be done with bread. There's no other option. Shituf mevod can be done with wine. And obviously you can upgrade and do something better like bread. Marvin b'chatzerot umishtatfim b'mavui. Make an eruv chatzerot, and you have to make a shituf mevaot. Shelo lishkach torat eruv minatinokot. So that the youngsters don't forget about eruv. Shemru abutenu lo yirvu, and they'll say our forefathers never put out an eruv because they were relying on this shituf. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That is the position of Rabbi Meir. So as far as the eruv chatzerot is concerned, the reason you use bread is because the way that Eruv Chatzera works is that we're trying to establish your location where you live. Dirat Adam, the residence of the individual. And since bread is the primary food and object in which a person determines their residence, therefore bread is what's needed in these cases. The second thing is, once you have Chatzerot that are connected together, Chatzerot can be connected together different ways. One of the ways for chatzerot to be connected together is through a mavui. It's through a common area, a cul-de-sac, some common area that allows them to traverse and get to each other. The other possibility of chatzerot being connected is that the chatzerot themselves are open one to the other. There's a doorway between two chatzerot. And there's a possibility that they have both. That two chatzerot that are adjacent to each other might both have openings into the mavui, as well as openings into each other. And that's what Rashi says is transpiring over here. That's what Rabbi Meir is addressing. We have chatzerot that are ptuchot zulazu. We have courtyards that open into each other. They have doorways between each other. So now what happens? They can make an eruv between the two chatzerot. They're able to be marev yachad or be marev latzman. That's what we learned about a doorway between two chatzerot. They have an option. They can be that themselves. They can each make their own eruv, or they can make a joint eruv between the two of them because of the doorway that's between them. Once they've made that joint eruv between them, what is the status of the mavoi? How do we look at the mavoi in that case? So let's do it in the simplest case. You have two chatzerot adjacent to each other. They have a doorway between them. They both open up also into a shared mavoi. Two separate doors that go out into the mavoi. Each one has its own independent door into the mavoi. They've now joined together. As chatzerot, they decided that with that door between them, they're going to make themselves into a single chatzer. They're going to have one eruv chatzerot between them now. So now they've become joint property in terms of the chatzerot and the batim that are there. What is the status of the mavoi? They never addressed the mavoi. And what is the status of the mavoi? The mavoi in the end is only joint property of these two chatzerot. So once they join together through an eruv between the two of them, is that sufficient? Once they join together, does that cover all joint property of theirs, including the mavoi? Or does the mavoi stand separately? And that's what Rabbi Meir is addressing here. He says, even though these are chatzerot that are ptuchot mizuluzu, even though they made an eruv between them, but they didn't do shituf mivaot. They still need to make a shituf mivaot. They ain't somchim al eruv, b'makom shituf v'lo shituf b'makom eruv heicha d'lo irvu b'nei chatzer latzman. Unless each individual put together their own eruv, that's the only time that we don't require you to make additional quote-unquote connections between you. So in an instance where, let's call it Chatzer A and Chatzer B, didn't make a joint Eruv. Chatzer made its own Eruv. Chatzer B made its own Eruv. They also did a Shituf Mivot. They also joined together in terms of the Mavoi. In that instance, if there is a doorway between them, we will allow them to walk back and forth through that doorway. Because they've done both Eruv, each one has an Eruv, plus they've done Shituf Mivot. That's enough for us to allow you to walk between the doorways.
So what you're saying is like...
But here, what we want to make sure is that you're using both an Eruv and a Shituf Mivot. Both have to exist in some manner or some form. So in the instance where I have a Shituf Mivot, and I have an Eruv for each Chatzer separately, Chatzer A, Chatzer B, then I will allow you to carry between Chatzer A and B, even though they never put an Eruv, they didn't make a joint Eruv. The Shituf is enough to join them to allow them to carry back and forth. You could, you're right. If you did just the Shituf, it should have worked. But, Rabbi Meir says, Shlo tishtakach Torat Eruv. If you did that, then everybody would forget that there's a need for an Eruv. So he doesn't let you get away with just a Shituf Mivot, even though technically it should work. On the other hand, if you make an Eruv between you, which is that you place an Eruv and you make it that so that they're joined through that doorway, not through a Shituf Mivot, Rabbi Meir in that case will also object. Because what he'll say is, now you only have Eruv, you don't have Shituf Mivot. Shlo tishtakach Torat Shituf Mivot. Because people are not going to think there's a necessity for Shituf Mivot in that case, because all you have is an Eruv. So in that case, he'll say, it will, technically it should help you. Technically it should work, because you've joined the two properties, now you only have single ownership of the Mavoi, because you've joined the Chatzerot into single ownership. Right, only two Chatzerot here. Right, these are only two Chatzerot in the Mavoi, they've joined ownership, they should technically be able to go into the Shituf, into the Mavoi without any Shituf. We're not going to let you do that, because we want to ensure that lo shalot ishtakach Torat Eruv. So that's what Rabbi Meir says. All Rabbi Meir says is, I need a form of Shituf, and I need a form of Eruv that's there. Without Shituf and Eruv, you cannot have the ability to carry on Shabbat, even though technically, either one of them accomplished everything. Shituf can accomplish everything you need for the Shituf Mavot, plus the Eruv Chatzerot, because that's exactly how the Shituf works. It could have functioned to cover everything. Nevertheless, we say you must have an Eruv, Shlo tishtakach Torat Eruv. And the same in the reverse, where they're the only two Chatzerot, and they join through the doorway. Even though that should cover them for the Mavoi, it doesn't, because we don't want you to forget about Torat Shituf. So Rav Meir says, in either of those instances, we're going to force you to either put out the Shituf or to put the Eruv in place, because it's not sufficient one alone. Halachically it is, but not for the, what we call the long term. The long term, it's not a good solution, because if you use this as a long-term solution, children growing up in that area will only be aware of one of the two solutions and won't have an ability to understand that they really don't need two solutions here because of the way that it's set up. All right, so that's Rabbi Meir's. You're going to need either an Eruv or a Shituf. You don't need to have both. It's not necessary to have both of these issues here. You can only have one or the other. Shituf will cover you, and therefore you don't need the other Eruv. Or, if you have the Eruv that joins between them, then that'll cover you for the Shituf. You don't have to have both. They look at the immediate necessity, and we've covered the immediate necessity. They aren't looking at the long term, which is the implications for the children. They'll learn. They're not going to necessarily extrapolate what's done here, so they're not worried about that. Now, we have a machloket by two Amoraim to explain this machloket between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, which is Pligi Ba. We have in our Gemara's written, Rabbi Nechumi Virabba. If you look in the Bach, he changes this to Rav Ruchumi and Rabba Bar Yosef. It would make sense that the machloket here is between two Amoraim in Bavel, so that would make sense that it's Rav and not Rabbi. But in addition to that, he changes it to Rav Ruchumi and Rabba Bar Yosef. So this is a machloket. Chanamar. One says, Bipat de kuliyama lo plige de bechada sagi. If you use bread, then everybody agrees that you only need one. Ki plige biyayin. The only question is when you used wine. Over here we have machloket Rashi and Tosafot, what it means that he only used bread over here. So Rashi says that bread is sagyo. Da pat chazi hocha vahocha. Bread works in both locations. Bread works as an Eruv Chatzerot. It also works as a Shituf Mivot. So then, Ben Lamar, Sumchim al Shituf b'makom Eruv. Tosafot says they pushed themselves. They pushed themselves to use bread when it wasn't necessary. It would have sufficed to use wine for the Shituf Mivot. The fact that they extended themselves and used bread for their Shituf Mivot, that's enough to make it that it covers both. It covers both the Shituf Mivot and the Eruv Chatzerot. So, Kipligei, When do they argue? Is biyayin. They made the shituf mevaot with wine. According to the Chachamim, if you do shituf mevaot, that's what Rashi is going to say, ki plige biyayin. They argue by yayin. For the Chachamim, if you do shituf mevaot with wine, it works for the Erev Chatzerot. Even though, if you used wine for the Erev Chatzerot, it wouldn't work. Migo, that it works for the shituf mevaot, it also works for the Erev Chatzerot. So even though, if I was to come and make an Erev Chatzerot with wine, it would not work. But here, since shituf mevaot works that way, and shituf mevaot is a bigger, more inclusive, expansive type of eruv, we call it, therefore, I'm able to use yayin to cover both the shituf mevaot and the Erev Chatzerot. Whereas, Rabbi Meir says, no go. The fact that you use yayin for the shituf mevaot, and now you want to use that to cover the Erev Chatzerot, no go, because tishkachach torat eruv. There, tishkachach torat eruv, because there's no bread involved. Rabbi Meir's opinion is going to be, when you have bread as the shituf mevaot, then you've upgraded. When you've upgraded the shituf mevaot, then we say it covers both shituf mevaot and Erev Chatzerot. Where you simply use the basic material for shituf mevaot, which is yayin, then we say, works for shituf mevaot, Erev Chatzerot, you're going to have to put extra in. On the other hand, the Chachamim say that just like bread works for shituf mevaot and covers everything, so too yayin. If you use it for shituf mevaot, it covers everything, because even though yayin doesn't work as an Erev Chatzerot, but once you've used it for shituf mevaot and it works, it functions to cover everything. That's a machlok according to one of the Amoraim. That's the way Tosafot reads it, that they actually put out the shituf mevaot. Veri mefaresh da shituf bepat kai. That they're talking about a shituf with pat. They came to sagi b'yayin, since it was enough. Vehem dacha kula sod pat. Val muat fei. And they upgraded it. Moyo af the chatzerot. It works to chatzerot. Ba'od. The shituf v'chol abatim v'chatzerot. Shukulam mishtatfim yachad. That includes everything. Va'eru v'chatzerot to pat. En lo lo alio kol kach b'mavui. You do Erev Chatzerot with a pot, it doesn't seem to have to work for the Mavoi as well. Rashi, Tosafot reads Rashi as saying that the Erev Chatzerot is enough to cover the Shituf Mevot. If you use bread for the Erev Chatzerot, it also covers the Shituf Mevot. Keep it simple, there are only two Chatzerot, and they put bread between them, and they made a single Erev. That will also cover the Shituf Mevot. Tosafot quotes Rashi. He says, Ben Lamar, Somchim Mavui al Eruvei Chatzerot. Through Erev Chatzerot, that's enough. Umishtatfim be Mavui. That'll cover the Shituf Mevot. And since they use bread to join the two Chatzerot, it's enough to cover the Mavui. Tosafot asks on that position, why? What makes it so obvious? What makes it so clear for Rabbi Meir that if you do a Erev Chatzerot with bread, that it also covers the Shituf Mevot? The way Tosfot is explaining it, if you use bread in the Mavui, you've done something different or unnecessary. Once you've done that, you could say the Mavui covers the Erev Chatzerot, according to Rabbi Meir. But if it's the other way around, where you're using bread in the Erev Chatzerot, you had no choice. That's the only thing you could have used. And if you used it, why does that cover the Shituf Mevaot? That's one of Tosfot's questions. The other thing that he notes here is, where is the placement of the Shituf versus the Erev Chatzerot? For Erev Chatzerot, we know if you make an Erev Chatzerot, you have to place it in one of the houses in the Chatzer. That's how you make an Erev Chatzerot. You put bread into one of the houses, that house becomes symbolically the owner of all the property, single ownership. When you have a Shituf Mevot, where do you place the Shituf Mevot? It sounds like you have to place it in the Chatzer. Rashi in other places says, you could place it in the Chatzer, because you came by Bayit. You could put it in the Chatzer, but certainly you could put it into the Bayit. The Ri over here says no. You can put it in the Chatzer and not in the Bayit. That's the whole point. If you put it in the Chatzer, that's an area that's joined between the Mavoi, and then makes it obvious. If Rashi was to subscribe to the position of the Ri, then it would also make sense. That's why Rabbi Meir might say his din. The fact is that they put the bread in the Bayit versus the Chatzer. That might make a difference. Because by placing the bread in the Chatzer, it's obvious that it's a Shituf Mevot. If you place it into the Bayit, it's obvious that it's an Erev Chatzerot. Therefore, if you put the bread into the Chatzer, then it's clear that the bread's being used not only for the Erev Chatzerot, but it's also being used as the Shituf Mevot. Technically, right. If you didn't have a Shituf Mevot, that wouldn't work as an Erev Chatzerot. But there, at least, you come up with a solution to that problem about why it's different. I mean, how do you know, or according to Rabbi Meir, why should it be different if I make my Erev Chatzerot with bread that should also cover the Shituf Mevot? Well, if the placement makes a difference, that's what would be the answer. According to Rabbi Meir, if I place it in the Chatzer, that's why it works, both as a Shituf Mevot and as an Erev Chatzerot, because it's in the Chatzer. Because I didn't put it in the Bayit. But according to Rashi, who says I could equally put it in the Bayit as in the Chatzer, I don't have that distinction, I don't have that differentiation, and then it's not so clear. So Tosu leaves that as a Tzorach Iyun in terms of that placement, according to Rashi. He says that Yerushalmi and other places sound like Rashi, that you can place it either in the Chatzer or in the Bayit, and that it's not only in the Chatzer v'shita. Rashi says, right, if they use an Erev Chatzerot with pot, even Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim agree that everything is fine, because the Erev Chatzerot covers the sheet of Mivot. On the other hand, the question is whether the other way around it works. If they do sheet of Beyayin, according to Rabbi Meir, that's not sufficient. According to Chachamim, that is sufficient. The way Tosafot is learning it, Tosafot says that it's all about the Shituf. They did a Shituf, and that covers the Erev Chatzerot. That means, according to Tosafot, if you learn Mandamar that Lo Pligi, that by pot they're not arguing, by Erev Chatzerot, they do argue. Meaning that the way Tosafot learns it's the exact opposite. According to Rashi, everybody agrees if you use pot bechatzerot, that it covers the Mavoy. The way Tosafot's learning it, if you use pot bechatzerot, it's the same machloket as if you use Yayin for Mavoy. It doesn't help you. It doesn't do anything to benefit you in that case. When they say they agree, that's only when you use pot for Mavoy. That's the only place where they agree. Otherwise, the same machloket exists for the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. Whereas according to Rashi, the machloket is much narrower. According to Rashi, pat in the chatzirot, everybody agrees is fine. Their only machloket is in mavoi b'yayin, if you use mavoi b'yayin. So that's just a machloket about how this figures. Then you have the other. V'chadamar, b'yayin t'kuli amad lo plige divin intarte. The other way to learn it is that if you use wine, everybody agrees you need both. That if you use yayin, you need both an erev chatzirot and a shituf mivot, because yayin is only sufficient for shituf. It's not sufficient for erev chatzirot. So if you make your shituf out of yayin, we won't allow you to cover the erev chatzirot. The question is if you use pot, and Rashi says, whether you use the pot for the eruv or the shituf, can that cover the other one? The Chachamim says it covers the other one, and Rabbi Meir says you need the other one there. No matter what, even if you use pot, it's not sufficient. So meitave, Chachamim omrim, o me'arvin, o mishtatfim, either you do an eruv or you do a shituf, my love, o me'arvin bechatzer bepat, o mishtatfim b'mavui b'yayin. What does that mean? You could do either or. It sounds like either you can use pot in the chatzer, or you can use shituf with yayin. And if that's the case, that sounds like the Manda Amar that says that the Chachamim disagree and use yayin. Like the first Lishna that we brought down, which is that they only agree by pot, by yayin they argue. And the Chachamim say it's okay with yayin, which is what seems to be indicated through this Braita. So Amar Gido Amar Rav Ochi Kamar, O me'arvim bechatzer bepat, umatarim kan vegan. So either way, the way you read it, not Eruv with pot and Shituf with the ayin, but read both of them bepat. And if you do either one with pot, it covers the other. So that will explain it according to the second Lashon that we just brought, that they only argue by pot, they do not argue by yayin. So then the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Halocha ki Rabbi Meir. The Halocha is like Rabbi Meir, we pass him like Rabbi Meir. He's right, so we have to look at the long term, Lo tishtachach Torat Eruv, we paskin like Rabbi Meir. Ravun Amar, minhag ki Rabbi Meir. The minhag is like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochan Amar, nahagu am ki Rabbi Meir. This is something we saw earlier in the Masecht already. When you say halacha, that means you paskin that way and you broadcast it that way. You go to the public lectures and you say halacha ki Rabbi Meir. Nahagu is, we don't publicly broadcast it, but if you come and ask us for halacha, psak halacha, we're going to tell you the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Nahagu means the people do this. Beit Din or Chachamim will not object, but they don't give psak halacha. They're not going to opine on the issue. What's interesting here is that generally we have this or this type of setup when you're speaking about a case where the person is mekil. When they're mekil, you can say that nagu am, the am was like this and we don't object. But if the am is noheg like the machmir, then what does it mean that we don't object? Why would we object that they mean machmir? If they're mekil, then you could say that it'd be necessary to object. But if they're taking the machmir approach, then by definition they're incorporating the mekil approach. So why would you even have a havamina that you should have mocha? So Tosafot brings up a number of issues that will come up that even though you're machmir actually have issues. For instance, bracha. Do you make a bracha on the eruv and the shituf separately? To Clemens, are you chayav in both? Or are you only chayav in one? According to Chachamim, you're chayav in one. According to Rabbi Meir, you're chayav in both. So if the am is now, hey, give Rabbi Meir, they're going to end up making a bracha, quote unquote, levatala, if we're not mocheh bahem. That's one thing that comes up with the chumrah. The other issue is, for instance, if they hold like Rabbi Meir, and now they don't bring a knife or hot water on Shabbat to perform a milah, because they say we don't have an eruv chatzerot, chachamim he midu divrehem b'makom karet, and they don't do a milah on Shabbat because they don't have a knife there because they're being somech on Rabbi Meir. So there it'll turn out the chumrah turns out to be a kula somewhere else or chumra somewhere else, that causes a problem. So even though it's lechumra, it does have nafkaminot which matter, and therefore we would object if we thought it was wrong. And the fact that we say naguam and we don't object is because we silently acquiesce to the people's position within Rabbi Meir. Now, which position do we pass on like here? I mean, we had two lishonot. Which of those two lishonot? So the answer is that we pass on like the first lashon, which is v'pat tekuli amalo plige b'chad decided ki plige bi'ayin. That's the lashon that we pass on like, because already being machmir like Rabbi Meir, which is not necessary in a roof. In a roof, we generally pass on like the divrei ha mekil, and nevertheless we're being machmir here. So we're not going to double machmir here. We're not going to take Rabbi Meir's position and take the more machmir position within or version of Rabbi Meir. So even though we're taking the position of Rabbi Meir, we're going to take it on the tzad l'kula. According to Tosafot, that means if you did a shituf mivot with pat, you won't need an eruv. According to Rashi, that means that both, if you did shituf mivot with pat, if you did eruv chatzerot with pat, then you not need the other item in that case. It's only biyayin where you have that machloket. The way Tosafot's learning it, if you use pat bechatzerot, it's the same machloket as if you use biyayin from mavoi. Doesn't help you. When they say they agree, that's only when you use pat for mavoi. That's the only place where they agree. Otherwise, the same machloket exists for the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah says, Chamisha chaburot sheshavtu betraklin. You have five groups of individuals who all took up residence inside of this palatial estate. There was this palatial estate, had plenty of room in it. Well, it was an old place, wasn't fully put together. But they all decided to camp out, they all decided to move in there. Beit Shammai omrim, eruv, l'chol chabura v'chabura. Beit Shammai says that each group has to put together their own eruv. Own eruv here is when each one of them has access to the chatzer. Each one of these five that took up residence in this traklin has a doorway into the chatzer. Do we view them as being separate entities, and therefore each one must contribute to the chatzer separately? Or do we say that it's one big house, and since there's one house, they only have to give once into the eruv. Beit Shammai says each one has to give in separately. B'tel omrim, eruv echad l'kulan. One eruv is sufficient for all of them. They're technically joined together. Umodim, they agree b'zman shemikdatam shruim b'chadarim. O b'aliyot, shein zrichim eruv v'chol chabura b'chabura. They agree if some of them are already living in rooms or in, aliyot means attics, but the upper floors, but there are separate areas that they do need an eruv v'chol chabura b'chabura. If there is enough definition to their separateness, then we do require them to put an eruv. The Gemara will get to this. What is separating between these groups? The question is, what is the setup here that the Gemara will deal with? How much is considered to be separation, and what's considered to be togetherness? And that the Mishnah doesn't define for you, but it's clear that you have to give some definition to that. When are they considered to all be living together, even though they're separate groups? And what are they considered to be living separately, even though they're in the same house? And that's what the Gemara is going to address right away. Tosafot over here says before we had this with a goy. With a goy who has five Jews living in his chatzer, we said that they didn't have to put into the eruv separately. One of them could give on behalf of everyone and on behalf of the goy. So Tosafot says you have to distinguish. A goy does not have a shame dira. So the only thing that he caused a problem for here is because he's there, he's present, but not because he has a shame dira. So then when all the Jews live in his house, they also don't gain a separate dira. They're all under his umbrella, and his umbrella is you don't have a dira here. So they can act as proxies for him to put into the eruv, but they're not going to be separate. When you have Jews who are there, when they're living there is like a dira, then we have a problem. So then when you have multiple Jews living in a house, each one of them can define their own dira. And because of that, they become a problem for the chatzer. So then Tosafot distinguishes between certain cases. Cases where, if an individual lives by the balabait, he's renting a room, he has access from the balabait. Question is, when is he separate, and when is he part and parcel of the balabait? So for instance, he gives examples of people, which was common in the time of Tosafot, the Middle Ages, and even till much later, until the time of Shiva and Volozhin. Young guys who go to learn in a city, and they board by certain people in the community. They stay by them. Now, even though he says that they have separate entrance out to the Rishut HaRabim, they have their own food, nevertheless, they're considered to be part and parcel of the house. They don't really have a defined or separate living space because they're really using or utilizing the same roof of the Balabait, and they're really utilizing the property of the Balabait. It means they don't have a separate kitchen. They don't have a separate place where they prepare their food. Everything that they do in terms of utility is shared. And because of that, they're considered to be one, even though they eat separately, and even though they sleep separately. That's not enough because they have all their functions that are joined. They're relying on the balabayit for their basic functions. If that's the case, they remain a single house. So that's an important distinction that he draws. When you want to be separate, you have to have enough separateness that you eat separately, you sleep separately, and you function separately, completely function separately. If you utilize common utilities within the house, then you might have a problem. You share your oven, you share your fridge, you share those types of things. Then already you might be considered to be one, even though you're totally separate. So Tosfot talks about how separate you have to be considered separate. Right? Amar Rav Nachman. Our Gemara says, Machloket ben misipas. The machloket here is misipas. You can see over here by the Masorah Shas, that perush gaon, misipas kotel chalul. It's a hollow wall that has windows in it. Today, the word misipas is used for tiling or mosaic. So here, it means that it's not a real wall. Let's say whether it's decorative or whether it's just there as some sort of light barrier, that's considered to be the machloket here. Aval b'michitzot asara. If you have full-fledged michitzot over here, divrei hakol eruv l'kol chabura b'chabura. My Rav Nachman says, if you have a halachic michitza, a halachic wall, they're separate. That's the definition. You don't have a halachic wall, even though there's some sort of separator between them, if it's not a halachic wall, that's the machloket over here, between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. If you're sub-halachic wall, does that define you as separate or not? Beit Shammai says yes, Beit Hillel says no. Igadamre, there's another version of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, afu misipas machloket. Even by misipas, they argue. It doesn't have to be a halachic wall. Any sort of separation is their machloket. And by a halachic wall, they also argue. I mean, after misipas means not only by misipas, but also the other case. That's by a halachic wall. By a halachic wall, they also disagree. But then, where do they agree? Or where does Beit Hillel finally say they agree? That's not so clear. So, pliki ba Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shimon, Barabi. Rabbi Chiya and Shimon Barabi learned by Rabbi himself. One of them is Rabbi's son, Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Chiya was a Talmud of Rabbi. They learned together. They were both friends, chavrutot, and competitors. We have stories about their competition in chess. They learned by Rabbi. Chadamar, machloket, v'michitzot, amigiot, l'tikra. Their machloket is even with mechitzot that reach the ceiling. Aval mechitzot, j'migiot, l'tikra, divyakol, eruv, echad l'kulam. If the walls do not reach the ceiling, then it's one eruv for everybody. Even Beit Shammai agrees that's not enough. You want to have separation here? You need walls to the ceiling? Real walls, walls that reach the ceiling, full-fledged walls, that's a separation. That's where they have the machloket. Get anything less than that, everybody agrees that's a subpar wall, there's no separation. V'charamar, machloket b'mechitzot she'ein migiyot l'tikra. The machloket is when the walls don't reach the ceiling. Aval mechitzot migiyot l'tikra, diriakot z'uchim eruv l'kol chabura v'chara. But if the walls reach the ceiling, even Beit Hillel will agree that that is considered to be a separation. So now we have actually four ways to formulate this machloket here. You have two in Rav Nachman, and then you have Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Barabi. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Barabi argue about where the agreement is. There are differences between a wall that reaches the ceiling and doesn't reach the ceiling. The question is, who's admitting to whom? Going to a second position, it's Beit Hillel who's agreeing when the wall reaches the ceiling, that that's considered a separation. In the first version, it's Beit Shammai agreeing when it doesn't reach the ceiling, that it's not considered to be a wall. Rav Nachman has a lower standard. Rav Nachman, in the first version of Rav Nachman, says that if it's a halachic wall, that's a wall, and everybody agrees. My question is, when it's a sub-halachic wall, nothing to do with reaching the ceiling, not the ceiling, asarat, 10 tefachim is a halachic wall. You get to 10 tefachim, everybody agrees, Beit Hillel agrees. In the second version of Rav Nachman, they disagree both by a misipas, this low wall, and by a halachic wall. Where do they agree? That's not so clear. Where do they reach the point where the machloket is over? Maybe never. Or maybe then they subscribe to one of the two positions of Rabbi Shimon by Rabbi or Rabbi Chiya. Meitve. We have a braita. Amar Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar. That's interesting. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar. Now, you could have a number of explanations of that. One is that he's Israeli. The other one is that Chorfei, that he was very bright. He was sharp. So from the word Svara, they called him HaSabar. If you look at Tosafot, there are another two girsaot about what his name was. Either the Rabbeinu Chananel says his name was Rabbi Yehuda HaSabach. Sabach from the word svacha. Svacha, which is a netting or a head covering. He was a maker of these head coverings. Or, the possibility is that he was from the location called Sabach. Now, truthfully, in our psukim, he quotes a pasuk from Yoshua. The pasuk in Yoshua does not say svacha. The pasuk in Yoshua says sachacha. And therefore, the Bach changes the girsa in Tosafot to read that maybe it was Rabbi Yehuda HaSachach. And he was from this place called Sachacha that's mentioned in Yoshua. So there you have three different versions of this. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar, Rabbi Yehuda HaSabach, or Rabbi Yehuda HaSachach. So any one of those versions. Lo nechluku beit Shemai beit Hillel amichitzot amigiyot l'tikra. They do not argue when the walls reach the ceiling. Sitzrichim eruv v'chol chabura v'chabura. That you need an eruv for everybody. That is like the last lashon that we saw over here between Rabbi Yechia and Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. Ama nechluku amichitzot she'ein magiyot l'tikra. When they don't reach the top. Shebeit Shemai omrim eruv v'chol chabura v'chabura. Beit Hillel omrim eruv v'chad l'gulan. So now let's start. According to the first version that we saw there, that even when the mechitzot reach the ceiling, there is a machloket. When it's less than that, Beit Shammai agrees to yufta. This braita undermines that position. That position doesn't hold water with this braita now, because it's clear here, the braita doesn't think so. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar is saying otherwise. Naman damar me mechitzot she'ein migiyot l'tikra machloket, siyato. Then it's a proof. It's a help. According to that lashon that says that when they don't reach the top, that's the machloket. When they reach the top, everybody agrees that that's separate. That position is helped by this braita. Now, l'ach nishna d'amar Rav Nachman. Now, what about the two lishonot of Rav Nachman? L'ach nishna d'amar Rav Nachman machloket misipas. That he says machloket is only by misipas. But once you reach a halachic wall, there's a separation. Tiyufta. This undermines that, because it's pretty clear here that Beit Hillel, according to this version in the Braita, only says that there's a separation when it reaches the ceiling. Until it reaches the ceiling, even if it's a halachic wall, doesn't do anything for you. So it's clear that that lashon of Rav Nachman is undermined. This is what we mentioned before, where Rav Nachman says that even by misipas it's machloket, makes it sound like it's a machloket by a halachic wall, halachic by misipas. Where they agree, we don't know. And that's what it says. Lemet avit yufta. This brayta should undermine that position of Rav Nachman. Amar lecha Rav Nachman, pliga v'mechitza v'odem v'misipas. That they argue about everything. They argue from top to bottom, they argue about everything. And then why do they argue by mechitza? Lo diacha kuchan de Beit Hillel. To teach you the power of Beit Hillel. So lifligay be misipas. So why do they argue by misipas? Lo diacha kuchan de Beit Shammai. Show you the power of Beit Shammai. Koach de teira odif. I want to show you who is the most mekil here, because that's the most mechudash position to be mekil. So they say they argue by mechitza, they argue by misipas, they argue by everything. Okay, when it reaches the ceiling, maybe they don't argue. But that's that. Position of Nachman wasn't clear where they don't argue, but he could agree that they argue all the way up. And therefore, he could accord with this braita over here. That second lashon, the Ikadami and Rav Nachman could accord with this. As well as the second lashon that we quoted from Rabbi Chi and Rabbi Shimon bar Yevi, that definitely accords. That's exactly like what the braita says. Am Rav Nachman Amar Rav, Alocha ki Rabbi Yehuda Sabar. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda Sabar, which is very interesting now, that you have Rav Nachman saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda Sabar, yet Rav Nachman's statements before may not accord with that position of Rabbi Yehuda Sabar. One of them possibly could. You have to maybe say it in that way, that that second lashon of Rav Nachman. I'm Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. We already pointed out that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, those of you point out, is different than Rav Nachman. They're two different individuals. Matnitan nami deka. Our mission is miduyak like that. Diktani umodim. That when some of them live upstairs, some live downstairs, they have their separate rooms, then you have to have separate eruvin, or they have to contribute separately to the eruv. My chadarim umay aliyot. How do you define a cheder, and how do you define an aliyah? What are these rooms? Ilema chadarim chadarim amash. A room means a room. Aliyot aliyot amash. And aliyah means amash. Pshita. What's the question over here? If they're living in totally separate, delineated spaces, and they have their own entrance to the chatzer, why is there a question that they are separate entities? It's so clear that they're separate entities. They have separate rooms, separate everything. So what is it? El alav ke'ein chadarim u'ke'ein aliyot. The question only comes up when it's similar to an aliyah, similar to a cheder. What's that? Am I new? Mechitzot amigiyot l'tikra. Yeah, mechitzot that reach the ceiling, but they're not real walls. They're curtains that are being hung from the ceiling down to the floor. So there, does that function as a mechitza enough to separate them or not separate them? So that's exactly what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says, modin. Both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree in this case that they're considered to be separate. Well, what's the case? If the case is simply rooms and aliyot, then what do you have to tell me that for? Of course everybody agrees in that case. In that case, everybody has separate space and separate entrance to the chatzer. They're separate houses. The question here is, if you hang a curtain from top to bottom, are they considered to be separate? And that's the question. And if they say here, Modin, our Mishnah says that everybody agrees in that case, that sounds exactly like the braita of Rabbi Yehuda Sabar. When it reaches the ceiling, Beit Hillel agrees that they're considered to be separate entities. And that's why our Mishnah is Meduyak, like the braita, Shema Mina. Tana, Bamed, Varim, Amurim. What's the case here where we consider them to be separate? כשמוליכין את עירובם למקום אחר. It's only when they move the Eruv to another location. אבל אם היו עירובם באצלן, if the Eruv is placed in this truckline, דברי הכל עירוב אחד לכולן, then one Eruv is sufficient. So now, the difference they're designating here is that the question of where the Eruv is placed. When you have the Eruv, one of the houses has to house the Eruv. Who's housing the Eruv? If it's another house in the Chatzer that is housing the Eruv, then they're considered to be separate, and they have to all give in separately. On the other hand, if the Eruv is housed in the Truklin itself, then what the Gemara is saying here is that they don't have to give in separately. Why is there a difference? Rashi explains this. Avalim hayu. Shar b'nei ha-chatzer mivim pitam le-truklin, divrei ha-kol. V'hai tano, demekam achlik ben makom acher le-bayit zlan svir le, temayu debet shemay beit el, lavi mechitzot pligei. They're not arguing about mechitzot. It's so clear here that the machlok between beit shemay and beit el cannot be about mechitzot anymore. Because if the machlok is about mechitzot, it should make no difference whether you take your eruv from here to there, or your eruv from there to here. Ela afilu lebeit shemay nami trakli mechabran, ben tzarich eruv benayu. So then he agrees that even when they're all in the truklin, they're all considered to be one entity. Babalu kachamisha shegavu et eruvan, they're equivalent of five people groups together, put their eruv. Sfilu de chamisha shegavu et chetzeran, uvain le arevim chetzer acheret, im molichim sham et eruvam, ein echad mehem shliach lekulan. Their machloket is about a halacha that we saw before. If a group of people get together and make an eruv, and now they want to join another chatzer in the eruv, does everybody have to go then and contribute into the eruv to give to the others? Or can one of them act as a proxy or an agent for the chatzer itself? We've said in the past, one person can act as an agent of chatzer. Once they're joined together and became a single entity, one person can act as the agent and the proxy for that entity. And they can carry that over into the next chatzer. That's the machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai here. So if they get together, here they're considered to be one entity now. There are five groups that come together and they all put their eruv together. Now, if they have to go to another place and give their eruv over, Beit Hillel says, no problem. You want to take your eruv somewhere else? One person can act as an agent for all the parties here. Beit Shammai says, that doesn't work. You can't have an agent or proxy. On the other hand, if it's in reverse, if the eruv is brought into the truklin, then there's no longer a need for an agent. They're all there in the truklin and they're all considered to be one entity in the truklin. If that's the case, then even Beit Shammai agrees that they won't need a separate Eruvin because it's in their location. There's no need for an agent, there's no need for a proxy anymore. And because of that, they're all considered to be one entity inside of the Truklin. But that means that this Tana believes that the Machloket is not about what we've been speaking about till now, which is Mechitot, but rather about the question of whether you can have agency when it comes to five groups that get together. Keman Azla Hadetanya, who does this follow, this Braita? Chamisha Shegavu Et Eruvan. Five groups to get together and put the Neiruv together. They want to take this joint Neiruv and place it together with another group of people. One Eruv suffices for all of them, meaning that one person can act on their behalf for one movement is enough. Come on. That's clearly like Beit Hillel who says one Eruv is sufficient for all of them. So here now you have a reverse of that. The Ikud Amri says their machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is when the Eruv came to them. But when the Eruv is taken to someone else, then nobody can act as a proxy. We don't have this ability to make a proxy. Come on, Azahad Tanya. Then who does this brayta go like? Amisha Shekavu Eruvan. When they brought their Eruv together, Shemalichim and Eruvan to Makom Acher, Eruv Echad Lekulan. One Eruv is sufficient for all of them. Come on, Delok Echad. That's not like Beit Hillel and not like Beit Shammai. Because according to the second Lashon, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai both say you can't have a proxy act on behalf of the parties here. Okay, next Mishnah. Achin Shayu Ochlim Al Shulchan Aviyem. You have brothers that are eating on their father's table. V'yishenim Bebateyem. But they sleep at home. Tzichim Eruv Lekol Echad Be'echad. They're considered to be separate entities. Lefikach. Im shachach echad mehem, lo yirev, mevatel et rushuto. He has to nullify, he has to relinquish control over his property in order to be a part of the Eruv. Ey matai. Bizman shemolichin eruvan bemakom acher. That's only true when they put the Eruv somewhere else. Avalim haya Eruv bayit zlan, if it came to their father's house. O she'eni mehem dirurim bechatzer. Or there's nobody else who lives in this chatzer besides the family. Einan tzrichim narev. Then they don't need an Eruv. So their father feeding them is enough to join them in terms of their singularity, as long as there's nobody else involved. As soon as you involve somebody else, they lose some of that singularity. The Gemara will explain why. Shma Mina. From our Mishnah, you can conclude, Makom Lina Goreim. Where you sleep is the defining factor here. Because here, they're eating by their father, and yet they're sleeping alone, and sleeping alone is what determines. When we say they're eating by their father, they're not literally eating by their father. They're getting a stipend from their father to pay for their food. Their father's paying for their food, but they're eating their food at home. So now they're both eating and sleeping in their own houses. So then we don't have any evidence here. It could be that where you eat determines or where you sleep determines, because they're doing both in their separate houses. So now what joins them together is mikablei pras. It's the fact that they get their stipend from their father. Because of that, if they are eating in their own homes, sleeping in their own homes, of course they're separate entities. Why should there be any havamina that they're joined? They're joined because of the stipend only in two situations. One is in which there's nobody else living in the chatzer. Nobody else lives in the chatzer. The fact that their father provides their food for them is an overarching, overriding factor, and that's enough to join them together. It's as if they have an eruv, because he's paying for their food. On the other hand, when there are other people there, they become separate entities, and they're going to have to contribute, unless the eruv is brought to them. The eruv is brought to them, the fact that the father provides the stipend for their food is enough to join them together again so they can be a singular entity. Tarabanan, Mishal Yoshlo Beit She'ar Achsadro Mirpeset Bechatzer Chaveiro. Person who owns a gatehouse, a hallway, or achsadro, can be like a gazebo, or mirpeset, or a balcony, chatzer chaveiro, in his friend's chatzer, harizei eino serlof. That does not ruin it for them, because these are not considered to be places where you live. These are locations where people don't set up shop. They don't live in these places, they're too small. These are ancillary or anti-rooms to something else. On the other hand, beit ha-tevin, beit ha-bakar, beit ha-itzim, beit ha-otzarot, if you have a storage house for straw, for you have a refet, cow shed, you have a storehouse for wood, or beit ha-otzarot, or some sort of silo, harizeh o-seralav. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, eino o-ser la-makom dira bilvad. It has to be a living space in order to be o-ser. That you have contributed to the chatzer, that you'll be considered a party to the chatzer. Over here, Rabbi Meir says that residence isn't the factor. The factor is it a big room or a big house, a place that's plausible to be big enough to live in, and not something that's a secondary or subsidiary to another part. So Beit She'ar, Nachsadro, and Mirpeset, those are subsidiary to the main house. And because of that, they don't cause a problem. They're not real living spaces, and they are secondary to the house. Tosafot notes that even though these places are not normally living spaces, the Beit She'ar, the Achsadra, nevertheless, if someone lives there, they're covered by the eruv of whoever lives in the bayit. Since they're secondary or subsidiary to the house, as long as the house contributes to the chatzer, even though somebody's separate living in the Beit She'ar, they don't gain independent status. And since they don't gain independent status, therefore, they aren't required to put in as part of the eruv. On the other hand, these large areas, whereas storage areas, even though nobody's living there, they're large enough to be significant, and you have to contribute to the Eruv in order for them to make an Eruv Chatzei Eruv here. Rebbe says, no, the only factor that matters is if you live there. You must have a living space in order to become a problem for the Chatzer. Am Rebbe Yehuda Maseh Beben Nafcho, Shelo Chamesh Chatzerot Be'usha. He had 5 Chatzerot in Usha. Uba Maseh Lefnei Chachamim, from Ru Eino Oser Lebeit Dira Vavad. Even though he technically had room in all these different chatzerot, the place where he lived mattered. Everything else doesn't matter. So beit dira sakadatcha, ela makom dira. It's not that he needs, all of them were livable spaces. It's not that it was a livable space, ela makom dira, where he does live. So it's not that it was just livable space, but it has to be the space that he lives in. So even though he has 5 houses, if he lives in one of those houses, the other 4 houses are not problematic for those chatzerot, because he doesn't live there. Wherever he lives, that's the problematic place. Other than that, it's not problematic, and that is like Rabbi Yehuda over here. Okay, we'll stop over here. The Gemara is going to define my makom dira. They'll define that for us tomorrow.